Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Memor by Avraham Goldar and today Masechet Baba Basra Daf Kuf Nun, the ninth parak Misha Meis. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, on the previous daf, Rav Yosef said the term kol shehu should be understood literally with no required minimum. Abai challenged him from a Mishnah where Rabbi Dosman Hurkanah said, Chamesh rochelos gozos manu man upras, five sheep of which each is shorn a mana and a half of fleece, are obligated in the law of Rishus Hageiz, which is given to a kohen. But the Chachamim say, Chamesh rochelos gozos kol shehen, five sheep which are shorn even a minimal amount. Rav defined what kol shehen means, mana upras, a total of a mana and a half, ubavad shehu mechumashos, provided that they are at least fifths, meaning each produce at least a fifth of a mana and a half. This proves that kol shehen can have a minimum requirement. The Gemara answers that although the expression kol shehen should not have been used in that context, I did the ka'amar tanakama shiur rabba, but since the tanakama spoke of a large amount, amrahihu nami shiur zutra, and he spoke of a relatively small amount, he used the phrase kol shehen because it's comparatively so small. Point number two, the Gemara discusses what is included in a gift of all of one's metaltolin. It asks if a slave is considered like karka in this respect, since it has the halach of karka for numerous laws, such as a kinyan, or if they are referred to as metaltolin since they are physically movable. Ravina quoted a Mishnah which teaches that if one writes all his possessions over to a slave, his slave goes free since he is one of those possessions. Shir karka koshu, if you retain land of even minimal size, meaning he said he's retaining some land, well, yatsa ben chorin, he does not go free, because the retained land may refer to the slave himself. Belazar said, "As mataltlin shira etzla evid," they considered mataltlin retaining with respect to a slave, so that even if the master says he's retaining some mataltlin, the slave does not go free. Rav Nachman explained that a slave is referred to as mataltlin, so the slave may be the mataltlin which the master retained. Rav Ashi explained the Mishnah differently, Mishum Delav Kruz Gita, because the separation between the slave and master is not sufficiently clear in the document because of the remote possibility that he referred to the slave. And point number three, Rav Nachman said, Chamisha ad sheyichtevu kol nichsehem. There are five people where the laws of their gifts only apply if they write over all their possessions. Number one, Ashchi Meira, who can only retract from his gift upon recovery if he gave away all his possessions. Number two, Avdo, his slave, as mentioned before, that if one gives all his possessions to a slave, he goes free. Number three, Ishto, his wife, as taught in Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, the one who writes over all his possessions to his wife has merely made her an apotropos over the estate. Number four, Banav, his sons, as taught on Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, that if one writes away all his property to his sons, but writes land of even minimal size to his wife, she forfeits the right to collect her ksuba from the properties given to the sons. And number five, Mamvrachas, one who chases away, referring to an almana, who does not want her new husband to acquire rights in her property. Before remarrying, she gives her property away to someone whom she trusts to return it if her marriage ends. This insincere gift is ruled void, but Sricha Shetichtov called Nixel. She must write away all her property to demonstrate her intent. So once again, the 3 points are number one. On the previous daf, Rav Yosef said the term kol shehu should be understood literally with no required minimum. Abai challenged him from a Mishnah where Rabbi Dosman Hurkanah said, Chamesh rochelos gozos manu man upras, five sheep of which each is shorn a mana and a half of fleece, are obligated in the law of Rishus Hageiz, which is given to a kohen. But the Chachamim say, Chamesh rochelos gozos kol shehen, five sheep which are shorn even a minimal amount. Rav defined what kol shehen means, mana upras, a total of a mana and a half, ubavad shehu mechumashos, provided that they are at least fifths, meaning each produce at least a fifth of a mana and a half. This proves that kol shehen can have a minimum requirement. The Gemara answers that although the expression kol shehen should not have been used in that context, I did the ka'amar tanakama shiur rabba, but since the tanakama spoke of a large amount, amrahihu nami shiur zutra, and he spoke of a relatively small amount, he used the phrase kol shehen because it's comparatively so small. Point number two, the Gemara discusses what is included in a gift of all of one's metaltolin. It asks if a slave is considered like karka in this respect, since it has the halach of karka for numerous laws, such as a kinyan, or if they are referred to as mataltlin since they are physically movable. Ravina quoted a Mishnah which teaches that if one writes all his possessions over to a slave, his slave goes free since he is one of those possessions. Shir karka koshu, if you retain land of even minimal size, meaning he said he's retaining some land, well, yatsa ben chorin, he does not go free, because the retained land may refer to the slave himself. Belazar said, As mataltlin shira etzla evid, they considered mataltlin retaining with respect to a slave, so that even if the master says he's retaining some mataltlin, the slave does not go free. Rav Nachman explained that a slave is referred to as metaltelin, so the slave may be the metaltelin which the master retained. Rav Ashi explained the Mishnah differently, Mishum Delav Kruz Gita, because the separation between the slave and master is not sufficiently clear in the document because of the remote possibility that he referred to the slave. And point number three, Rav Nachman said, Chamisha ad sheyichtivu kol nichsem. There are five people where the laws of their gifts only apply if they write over all their possessions. Number one, Ashchi Meira, who can only retract from his gift upon recovery if he gave away all his possessions. Number two, Avdo, his slave, as mentioned before, that if one gives all his possessions to a slave, he goes free. Number three, Ishto, his wife, as taught in Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, the one who writes over all his possessions to his wife has merely made her an apotropos over the estate. Number four, Banav, his sons, as taught on Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, that if one writes away all his property to his sons, but writes land of even minimal size to his wife, she forfeits the right to collect her ksuba from the properties given to the sons. And number five, Mamvrachas, one who chases away, referring to an almana, who does not want her new husband to acquire rights in her property. Before remarrying, she gives her property away to someone whom she trusts to return it if her marriage ends. This insincere gift is ruled void, but Tzricha Shetichtov Kol Nichsel. She must write away all her property to demonstrate her intent. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Kuf Nun, and her standard Siman is a con artist. A con artist. So here goes. The con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a kosher was enough for Reishis HaGeiz, conned his Eved out of his freedom by leaving over Karka Koshehu in the shtar that gifted to him all his possessions, and was out-conned by his new wife who wrote away all her property to a friend. Once again, in slow motion. The con artist, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun. The con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a kosher was enough for Reishis HaGeiz, which reminds us, Gemara brings a mission where Rabbi Dos ben Horkana said, Chamesh Rachelos Gozozos Manu Manu Upras, five sheep of which each is shorn a mana and a half of fleece, are obligated in the law of Reishis HaGeiz, which is given to a Kohen. But the Chachamim say, Chamesh Rachelos Gozozos Koshehen, five sheep which are shorn even a minimal amount. Rav defined that koshen means man upras, a total of a man and a half, provided that there are at least fifths, meaning each produced at least a fifth of a mana and a half. The Gemara tends to show that this proves that a koshu has a minimum requirement, but answers that koshu should not have been used in this context. So the con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a koshu was enough for Reishis HaGeiz conned his Eved out of his freedom by leaving over Karka Koshu in the shtar that gifted to him all of his possessions, which reminds us, Gemara discusses what is included in the gift of all of one's metaltelin. It asks if a slave is considered like Karka in this respect, since it has the lacha of Karka for numerous laws, such as a kinyan, or if they're referred to as metaltelin since they are physically movable. Ravina quoted a mission which teaches that if one writes all his possessions over to a slave, his slave goes free since he is one of those possessions. She or Karkal Kochu, if you retain land of even minimal size, meaning he said he's retaining some land, well, Yatsa ben Chorin, he does not go free because the retained land may refer to the slave himself. So the con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a Koshu is enough for Reishis HaGeiz conned his Eved out of his freedom by leaving over Karka Koshu in the shtar that gifted to him all of his possessions and was out-conned by his new wife who wrote away all her property to a friend. Which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Chamisha ad sheyichtivu kol nichsem. There are five people where the laws of their gifts only apply if they write over all their possessions, the fifth case being a mavrachas, one who chases away, referring to an almana, who does not want her new husband to acquire rights in her property. Before remarrying, she gives her property away to someone whom she trusts to return it if the marriage ends. This insincere gift is ruled void, but tzricha shetichtov kol nechseh, she must write away all her property to demonstrate her intent. So once again, the con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a koshu was enough for Reishis HaGeiz conned his Eved out of his freedom by leaving over Karka Koshu in the shtar that gifted to him all of his possessions and was out-conned by his new wife who wrote away all her property to a friend. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Hazara. Daf Kuf Mem Vav. So the Zimmer Daf Kuf Mem Vav is a kimono. So here goes. The chasin is black kimono. Kimono? That must be on Daf Kuf Mem Vav. The chassan in his black kimono enjoying his festive Sudas chassan, knowing the kimono collection he gave his kala as Sivonos could no longer be refunded, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, HaShalech Sivonos Obeis Chomiv, one who sends bridal gifts to his father-in-law's house while his arusa lives there, even if there are 100 mana, V'alcho Sham Sudas chassan Afil Bidinar, and he ate a groom's meal there, even as little as a dinar's value, the Sivonos are not refunded if the marriage is not completed because of a divorce or death. The happiness he experiences at the meal causes him to waive his claim on the Sivonos. So the chassan in his black kimono, enjoying his festive suda's chassan, knowing the kimono collection he gave his kala Sivonos could no longer be refunded, was shocked to hear that his shchimira father-in-law was better, which canceled the gifts he gave away since he didn't retain any land on his own. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, shchimira shekasav kol nechasav la'acherim, a gravely ill person who wrote away all his property to others, was shir karka koshu, if he did not retain any land of even minimal size, eimat naso kayemis, his gift does not stand if he recovers. Since he did not keep anything for himself, he indicated that he gave away his possessions because he expected to die and had no need for them. Therefore, the gift is void if he recovers. So the chassan in his black kimono, enjoying his festive suda's chassan, knowing the kimono collection he gave his kala Sivonos could no longer be refunded, was shocked to hear that his shchimira father-in-law was better, which canceled the gifts he gave away since he didn't retain any land on his own, based on an umdana that he thought he would die and had no need for them. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, who the Tana is that follows umdana, the assessment of a person's mindset, which is why matna shchimira is void if he recovers. Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. So the simmer Daf Kuf Mem Zayin is a kumzitz. So here goes. At the kumzitz, that must be on Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. At the kumzitz arranged to keep the mental state of the shchimira stable, as he promised presents to all the participants, which reminds us, Amoraim offer various sources for matna shchimira, the gift of a gravely ill person, which takes effect without a kinyan. Rava quoted Rav Nachman saying that shchimira's gift is only in the Rabbanan without any source, and it was enacted lest his mental state worsen. The shchimira's agitation that his instructions will not be followed may exacerbate his condition, so the rabbis enacted that his verbal instructions alone affect the transaction. So at the kumzitz arranged to keep the mental state of the shchimira stable, as he promised presents to all the participants, including a shtar chov to the kumzitz leader, which no one could be mocho. Which reminds us, Shmuel agrees that if a bal chov gave a shtar chov as a matna shchimira, then he yachol mocho, that his heir cannot forgive it. The Gemara explains, Einish al Torah, this law is not biblical in origin, basua kashal Torah, but they treated it like something which is biblical, in order to assure the shchimira that his instructions will be fulfilled. So at the kumzitz arranged to keep the mental state of the shchimira stable, as he promised presents to all the participants, including a shtar chov to the kumzitz leader, which no one could be mocho. It was learned that he's unable to gift the guitar player the right to live in the house to practice for a future kumzitz. Which reminds us, Rav Nachman said that if a shchimira says, Yadir poni bebai zeh, poni shall have the right to live in this house, or yochol poni peres dekel zeh, poni shall have the right to eat the fruits of this palm tree, it's ineffective. Living in a house is intangible and cannot be transferred by an ordinary kinyan. Fruit of a tree which have not yet grown are a davar shel lo olam and cannot be transferred. Daf Kuf Mem Ches. So the simmer Daf Kuf Mem Ches is kemach, flour. So here goes. The shchimira covered in flour, who had instructed his family to give the loan owed to him to a ploni, which reminds us, the Gemara and further Rav Nachman holds that a shchimira cannot transfer something which a bari cannot transfer with a kinyan. This seems to contradict another ruling of Rav Nachman, that a shchimira that said, give my loan which is owed to me to ploni, his loan is transferred to ploni. But a bari cannot transfer an oral loan through a kinyan, since a debt is not something tangible which he owns. Rav Papa answers, however, Yorsha, since an heir inherits a loan, a shchimira can transfer it as well, since matna shchimira was enacted as an inheritance, as taught in Daf Kuf Mem Tes. Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika provides a different answer. So the shchimira covered in flour, who had instructed his family to give the loan owed to him to ploni, and paused between giving his different flour mills to multiple people, indicating a change of mindset, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, shchimira shekasav kol nechasav la'acherim. If a shchimira wrote away all his property to others, we examine his original intentions. Even mechalek, if it seems he was dividing them out, intending from the beginning to give everything away, then if he dies, they all acquire their respective gifts, and if he recovers, he may retract from all of them. If it appears he was reconsidering, meaning he planned to give only a partial gift and continually changed his mind and gave more gifts until he gave everything away, then if he recovers, he can only retract from the last gift. All the gifts, except the final one, were partial gifts, and he cannot retract from them. So the shchimira covered in flour, who had instructed his family to give the loan owed to him to ploni, and paused between giving his different flour mills to multiple people, indicating a change of mindset, was informed by his son to remember that chazar b'miksas havi chazar b'kula, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, chazar b'miksas havi chazar b'kula or lo? Is a retraction a part, a retraction of all of it, or not? If a shchimira gave all his possessions to someone, in which case he's able to retract, and he retracted from part of the gift and gave it to someone else, does that indicate a retraction from his entire first gift, and the rest of it reverts to him, and his gift to the second recipient would be a partial gift from which he cannot retract? The Gemara proves that a partial retraction is a retraction of all of it. Daf Kuf Mem Tes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Mem Tes is a comet. So here goes. And the Shchimiro who didn't notice the comet, that must be on Daf Kuf Mem Tes. The Shchimiro who didn't notice the comet whizzing by above his head, sold all his possessions but held on to the money since he hoped to recover and retract. Which reminds us, if a Shchimiro gives away all his possessions and recovers, his gift is void. The Gemara asks, Machar Kol Nechas of Mahu, if he sold all his possessions and later recovered, what's the halacha? Can he retract from the sales because we assume he sold all his belongings because of his anticipated death, or is the sale different? The Gemara explains, where the money paid for the sale is still here in the Shchimiro's possession, it indicates he hoped to retract the sales and return the money if he would recover. Where he paid his debts with the money indicates he had no intention of retracting, therefore he cannot retract if he recovers. So the Shchimiro who didn't notice the comet whizzing by above his head, sold all his possessions but held on to the money since he hoped to recover and retract, and admitted that the 12,000 zuz that he had deposited by the rabbi really belonged to his son, who was conceived before he converted, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Shchimiro shehoda mahu, if a Shchimiro admits that something in his possession belongs to someone else, what is the halacha? Do we accept his admission, or do we suspect he's attempting to falsely give the impression that he's not wealthy? A proof is brought from the incident of Issa Giora, who had 12,000 zuz deposited with Rava. So the Shchimiro who didn't notice the comet whizzing by above his head, sold all his possessions but held on to the money since he hoped to recover and retract, and admitted that 12,000 zuz that he had deposited by the rabbi really belonged to his son, who was conceived before he converted, forgot that he retained karkal kolshu, enough land to support himself from the produce, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Mem Amud Beis taught that if a Shchimiro gave away his property, retained karkal kolshu, land of even minimal size, he cannot retract if he recovers because it was presumably not given because of his anticipated death. Amarim defined karkal kolshu. Rav says, karkal kadei parnasaso, enough land to support him from its produce. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do you want if one marries off his oldest son in a wedding house? The son acquires it. That's on daf Kuf Mem Dalad. Good. Number two, which daf to discuss what the din is if a Shchimiro sold all his possessions and then recovered? That's on daf Kuf Mem Tes. Good. Number three, which daf do you want a slave whose master gave him all his property but retained some does not go free? That's on daf Kuf Nun. Good. Number four, which daf do you want a matna Shchimiro was enacted Shemetatar of Daito Alav, lest his mental state worsen? That's on daf Kuf Mem Zayin. Good. Number five, which stuff to be learned? Chazar b'mixvas havi chazar b'kula. A partial attraction is a retraction of all of it. That's on daf Kuf Mem Ches. Good. Number six, which stuff to be learned? There are five people where the laws of their gifts only apply if they write over all their possessions, such as a mavrachas. That's on daf Kuf Nun. Good. Number seven, which stuff to be learned? That the definition of karkal kosher who retained by Shchimira, according to Rav, is enough to support himself. That's on daf Kuf Mem Tes. Good. Number eight, which definitely when a brother's work appointment as a household member, such as a tax collector for the king, is shared by the estate? That's on daf Kuf Mem Dal. Good. Number nine, which daf do machos regarding the minimum requirement for ratios of gaze? That's on daf Kuf Nun. Good. Number 10, which daf do when a woman keeps kedushin money when the husband dies, saying Tnuli Bali Vasmachimo? That's on daf Kuf Mem Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.